Missouri's not even worthy of being in the update. There is 16.9 seconds left in their game. They are playing in one of those.
What sport are we talking about here?
Basketball. Oh. They are up 52-50 against Kennesaw State in the second half.
Kennesaw State played K-State tough? Is that right? Maybe not.
I'm more mad at the fact that Missouri only has 52 points against Kennesaw State. Coming up in just a bit, we are trying to get Fesco or Josh Klingler on the show. If Spectre can't book the show that he used to be on for our show, we got to find a new activity for Steven Spectre to do. You know what I mean? Like, you should be able to book them. You know what I mean? That'd be like, hey, we got to get Danny on the phone. I think I could get Danny on the phone if I really had to, if I know he wasn't working. If you can't get Fesco and Kling on the show, you're fired.
You think he's trying to just act like it's hard since he's a spy for the show? Is that what it is?
Yeah, he's like, we got to get a KU guest on. I'm like, sure, let's have him on. He's like, I'll get Kling. I know we can book him. And now he's like, oh, I haven't heard from him. If you can't get them on the show, you're done out here.
Yeah.
Coming up in just a bit, you actually talked to Ron Parker one-on-one at Arrowhead. We'll play that conversation coming up in just a bit. If you guys missed it, check out the podcast page, 610sports.com, also available on iTunes, also on the radio.com app. We had D Ford on the show earlier today. We'll play that interview in the 5 o'clock hour. Here's what D Ford said about hearing criticisms and maybe some of the false narratives that have been spread around
him. Just being great. That's been my number one focus. And you hear things. You hear things and we'll all be lying if we say we didn't feel it. You know what I mean? Yeah. You feel those things, so.
You mean you feel like the things that you hear?
Yeah.
Fans and people. So
yeah,
media,
I mean, this is
the
very.
Guys like us on the radio talking about.
Yeah, like earlier, you struggled your first 4 years. That's the narrative.
Yeah.
The truth is I sat behind two potentially Hall of Fame players. You know what I mean? As the way my turn. And my first year, my first verdict was 2016. I got hurt. Came back. I even came back, played well 2017, got hurt. Now we're here.
I think D Ford right there is telling you the core of what his agent is going to argue with the Kansas City Chiefs when it comes time to pay D Ford. We've had a lot of conversations on this show about the franchise tag or paying D Ford long term. If you are his agent, it's not hard to make the case for D Ford. I don't know if it's going to work or not with Brett Veach, but his case is going to be, when I was fully healthy in 2016, I had double-digit sacks. You had me behind Justin Houston and Tamba Hali. Justin Houston, who was arguably the best pass rusher in the NFL. Tamba Hali, a future Chiefs Hall of Famer. I waited my turn. Now when I got the shot to be the guy, when Justin Houston was out, look at what I've done. D Ford might have 15, 16 sacks this season, and we see all the time that unless you're John Gruden and the Oakland Raiders, teams just do not let pass rushers go by. I think you're seeing the argument that his agent is going to make when it comes time to pay D Ford.
And then the other side of that argument, though, and they're both right, in my opinion. I think D Ford and his agent have a point. When I'm healthy, look what I can do. Look what he's doing right now. Look what he did the first half of 2016. And the other part of the argument that's right that the Chiefs are going to use is you had back surgery at Auburn. You had another back surgery here in Kansas City. You're going to be 28 years old, and you want how many years for how much money on a back that's been repaired twice? So that's where I think D Ford is going to lose some leverage on this thing. It has nothing to do with it. And as you may, like, we sat down with D Ford. Like, he's terrific. Like, you can't sit down with D Ford and not love the guy. All right? I mean, he's true. You love his attitude, love everything about him. Very cerebral guy. But the truth of the matter is he's had two back surgeries. And that's going to work against him when it comes down to figuring out what his future is. He's somewhat injury prone. And we're not talking about a hammy here, a stinger there. We're talking about two back surgeries, one in college and one in the pros, and that's what the Chiefs are going to use against him. And I think the Chiefs are right to have to factor that in if they want to offer him a deal. And guess what? He and his agent are right when they say, yeah, but look what happens when he's healthy. The one thing I know at 48 years old, never played in the NFL, the older you get, the more stuff hurts. You know, so I would be leery to give – I still would be leery to give D Ford a long-term deal.
I look at D Ford, and I think he's one of the keys to winning this game. You don't get an over-under of 64.5 without the offense playing well. So in this one, I'm not trying to diminish what I think Patrick Mahomes can do in this game or Todd Gurley or what Jared Goff can do or Tyreek Hill. I just think it's an understood. Vegas thinks you're going to score points. That means guys on the offense are playing really well in this game. I think it comes down to these six guys on either side. If you look at the pass rush for the Los Angeles Rams, Aaron Donald, Dante Fowler, who they recently traded for from the Jacksonville Jaguars, or Ndamukong Suh, it's that pass rush going up against D. Ford, Justin Houston, and Chris Jones. I heard a stat today from my guy Nick Wright. 84% of drives this season that have had a sack at any point throughout the drive have not resulted in another first down or another touchdown. That sacks are the new turnovers. If you can get a sack on first down and make that offense from a second and 19 or a second and 15, you give your defense a huge boost for the rest of the game. I've been saying it all week. I don't think that you can realistically expect to limit offense in 2018. I think you got to shoot for a minimum of getting three stops. If you can get three stops in the game, you got a chance to win. Chiefs couldn't get three stops against the Patriots. You lost that game. I think this game comes down to those six players: Aaron Donald, Dante Fowler, and Dominican Sue. And on the Chiefs side, D. Ford, Justin Houston, and Chris Jones.
I don't buy the sack being a new turnover thing, though. I mean, the reason I don't buy it is because when you have a turnover, that's a sudden change, and that's a momentum builder. I mean, that gets the juices flowing right out of the gate. Mahomes was mic'd up over the weekend. Justin Houston gets that pick, and, man, you got great field position. You may not score. You may not get a first down or whatever with a sack, but you can still pump the football away 50 yards down the field. But I get what you're saying. You get a sack, more often than not, they're not going to score on you.
Let's catch up with Bob Fesco, host of Fesco in the Morning. He's a Kansas alum. He joins us on the drive right now with the breaking news of the day. If you missed it, Kansas is finalizing a deal to hire Les Miles as the Jayhawk head coach. Bob, how are you doing today, man?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Doing good. I'm surprised that you don't like this hire for KU. For people that may not have heard it, what is the reason why you don't like Les Miles as the next coach for the University of Kansas?
Oh, boy, how much time do we have? There's so many ways to go with this. Number one, I just think it's a very lazy hire by the new athletic director. I mean, anybody could have gone, oh, okay, let's get Les Miles. There's absolutely no creativity, no real search, no real thought process that went into hiring this guy. And I've seen Charlie Weiss coach at the University of Kansas. I don't need a reincarnation of Charlie Weiss coaching at the University of Kansas. This is a 65-year-old man that is taking the job at KU, and I will be an ageist on this. I think you have to be young. I think you have to be energetic, and I think you have to have years ahead of you to establish the program. And what I look at is Kansas State and Missouri, and the two most successful, in my opinion, college football coaches that this area has ever seen is Bill Snyder at Kansas State and Gary Pinkel at the University of Missouri. And both of those guys were hired that nobody knew who they were. They came in, they were young guys, and they wanted to establish a program. And they used these jobs and established programs and turned programs around. Kansas State became one of the best programs in the country. Missouri became one of the best programs in the country because they had young guys with energy that were willing to invest. It doesn't matter what your name is. It doesn't matter what your resume is. If you're a good football coach and you're ready to invest long-term, that's what I want. I wanted my Gary Pinkel. I wanted my Bill Snyder. Instead, I got Charlie Weiss 2.0. Very lazy hire by KU. So lazy.
Yeah, but I guess, Bob, I mean, my argument would be is I'm certainly not one to argue for Kansas football, but I'll side with them on this, though. Everybody wants Patrick Mahomes. Everybody wants Jared Goff. But sometimes you got to go get Alex Smith to help you go get your Patrick Mahomes. I'm with you. Everybody wants to go get their Bill Snyder, who could arguably be the greatest coach in college football history. But to me, nothing in Les Miles' track record would suggest that he's Charlie Weiss. Charlie Weiss was a good college coach for 2 years and then was 3 wins, 7 wins, 6 wins. I mean, Les Miles hasn't won less than 8 games in 15 years. Like, Les Miles, to me, as a coach, is just so far and away that if you're Kansas, you just got to get to being respectable. I mean, you haven't been respectable since Obama was in office the first time.
Wow.
Like, I'm just saying,
I was going to say, that's not that long ago.
I'm talking about the first time he was in office. So if your goal is KU, you just got to try to get back to 5-6 wins and just being a respectable college football program, which has been a decade since.
Yeah, I understand that. And look, we had our guy. We had Mark Mangino in there. They ran him out of town, and that was a huge mistake on the part of Kansas to run him out of town. But I want somebody that wants to be here for a long period of time. If Les Miles stays 5 years, he's 70 years old. I mean, come on now. Are you really going to go out there and recruit? What's the future of the program going to be like? How are we going to, you know, sustain the success that he may or may not have? He's also been out of coaching for the last couple of years, too. And so when a guy's been out for a while and is willing to take any job, because that's what Les Miles have, job, will take it type of guy, does he want to be at Kansas, or did he just want to get back into coaching? I wanted somebody that wanted to make this their home. I wanted somebody that wanted to make this a long-term job. I wanted somebody that was going to be here for a long time to see this process through. Les Miles, because he's 65 years old, is not that guy. And it's just I just don't like the hire for the University of Kansas. This is also a man who left $5 million of a buyout on the table and settled for $1.5 million so he could get back to work. Nobody in their right mind is leaving $5 million of free cash on the table to go back to work. That's just absolutely ridiculous, too. That's a huge mistake. But, I mean, I expected a better search process. I expected a more intense search process. It's like Jeff Long came in and goes, well, Les Miles is available. Let's hire him. And I know he's got a personal, formal relationship with the guy. But I, you know what? With Kansas football right now, you're going to have to go back there and win me over again, man. I was a diehard for a very long time. We went to games. Then it got away from us because of how bad it's been and kids are doing things right now. I'm not willing to buy in until they go out there and prove it to me that they can be a winning football program. And I don't know, by hiring Les Miles, it's like going out and I love Derek Johnson, but like bringing Derek Johnson back. It's a name we know and it's a name we recognize. Doesn't mean it's the right name and the best name.
We're talking to Bob Fesco from Fesco in the Morning. Bob, I mean, you talked about wanting that no-name guy that could come in that's young, that's energetic, that can do it. I think they tried that twice with David Beatty and Turner Gill. It didn't work. I'm with you on the age thing with Les Miles. I said the first thing that I need to know if I'm Jeff Long is, do you have the stomach to be able to go out there and rebuild a program? You're not stepping in. So I'm with you on that part of it. But let me ask you this.
I mean, I think there's going to be one senior back next year.
Well,
and they still got 1,000 scholarships.
Let me ask you this. Say you get some no-name young guy, up-and-comer dude. Is that going to help you raise $250 million for that stadium renovation? Because I think Les Miles will.
Is that what it's about, though, Brad?
It's part of it. Part of the gig,
you know?
Bob.
I know, you're right. And that's the situation that Kansas is in, because come conference realignment time again, and if Kansas doesn't have their act together, the Big 12 is not going to go to bat for them anymore. I've been told that by numerous people. So I understand it's between a rock and a hard place. What do you do?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the hire was not an easy hire. They made the decision to go out there and hire a guy that they think will bring in money. You know what brings in money? Winning football brings in money. You know, that's what brings in money, not a name of a coach. We've had names. I mean, we did. Charlie Weiss was a very big name, a very prominent coach in college football. Turner Gill was a name that everybody knew. Those were names that did not win and you know, didn't really have much of a track record. The Turner Gill one is interesting because I wonder if he got time, would he been able to win? He won at Buffalo, and now I know it's Liberty, but still he's crushing it at Liberty. He's doing a nice job down there. I don't know if he was ever given enough time because, again, when Shane Zenger took over, his mind was made up. Turner Gill was getting fired, and they were hiring a new football coach.
Bob, I cannot believe that we have backwards day on the drive that the Missouri fan is singing the praises of KU's next football hire, and the Kansas alum is telling me why Charlie Weiss, who has a national championship, is not a good coach for his 2-win football team. But hey, reasonable minds can always disagree. That's Bob Fesco, host of Fesco in the Morning. Thanks, Bob.
You got it, guys. Have a good weekend.
Thanks a bunch. I cannot disagree with Fesco anymore.
Turner Gill took cell phones and no girls. Yeah, you're not going to get recruits that way. I'm sorry.
And I just think the Charlie Weiss comparisons are just
me too
lazy. I just don't know how you can look at the resume and track record of Charlie Weiss, look at the track record of Les Miles, and come to the conclusion that they are the same person. I'm sorry, if you can't coach at Notre Dame successfully, I never understood how people thought that was going to work at KU. It's like, well, I gave you all the resources.
Notre Dame's tougher than you think it is, though. But I'm not saying that Weiss gets an out on that. I don't think Weiss was a very good football coach in college. I'm with you on that. But Notre Dame is tougher because academic stuff.
I mean, hold on. We think that coaching at Notre Dame is harder than coaching at Kansas? I don't think that at all.
Yeah, but I mean, just there's a lot of academic restrictions. There's a bunch of stuff at Notre Dame that you got to go through that you don't have to at some state-run institutions.
No, I agree. I'm saying,
yeah, that's all I'm saying.
Which job do we think is harder? If you are a Division I coach and both jobs are offered to you, which job is harder to turn around, Notre Dame or Kansas? Yeah. It ain't close in my mind which one it is.
It depends on where the academic restrictions are at Notre Dame,
yeah,
truthfully.
It don't really depend on nothing to me when it comes to Notre Dame. It is a far better job than the one you would have over at Kansas. Coming up in just a bit, you caught up with Ron Parker at Arrowhead. We'll play that for you coming up. It's The Drive. Coming up in about 10 minutes, Bill Moss will join us in studio to help preview Monday Night Football as the Chiefs take on the Rams. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we'll play Pick a Player. We got some fresh, new, hot out of the oven Pick a Players for the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll get to that coming up in 30 minutes or so. And I've got some numbers that would suggest the Chiefs defense and the Rams defense are very, 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 very similar. But earlier this week, Fanning, you got the opportunity to catch up with Ron Parker at Arrowhead. Here is that conversation.
Ron, what kind of challenges Jared Goff and this Rams offense pose for you guys? It's a great offense, man. They do a great job of spreading the ball out, and they got some good weapons over there, and they do a good job of operating that thing, man. Goff is a good leader. He got good pieces over there, so it's going to be a tough challenge.
What's this week been like? Because I think from a fan standpoint, it seems like a much bigger game. You got 9-1 versus 9-1, potentially a Super Bowl matchup. That's fun to say, right? But what's it like for you guys?
It's a regular week for us, man. I think we going like we do any other week. This week ain't no different than any other week. Any given Sunday, we playing against an NFL opponent, and I think our approach is the same as it was last week, as it was 2 weeks ago. It's nothing different for us. We're approaching everything the same.
Even though you're not going to, distractions like a big thing that people talk about, and people that don't play. Mm-hmm. Was it a distraction to have this game move from Mexico City to L.A.?
It wasn't. I didn't hear nobody talking about it. No players really talking about like going to Mexico or not after they canceled the game. I kind of forgot we was going to Mexico after we came in the next couple of days. It was kind of like just another game on Sunday just in the United States. And it's a regular road game for us, so we're going to do what we do in road games and stick with our same schedule and approach it the same way.
Difference between a Monday night game in L.A. versus like a noon game somewhere else, what's the difference?
I can't really say what's the difference. It's kind of the same for us. Whether it's Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday night, Sunday evening, we still got to go out there and put the pads on and play against our opponent and try to do our best to come out with a W. So it's no difference in us. It's time difference. That's for the fans and everybody else on the outside, I think.
And finally, when you look at that Rams offense, who's the guy that jumps out to you on film?
Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley, he's the man, man. He's the man with the plan. He do a good job. They do a great job of getting in the ball, whether he's running it or passing it, man. And I think he's a really great running back. So we just got to try to slow him down a little bit and try to slow the rest of the offense down.
I think you can make a pretty good case that after Patrick Mahomes, Todd Gurley's the best player in this game. I think Aaron Donald's fantastic. I think Goff's really good. Tyreek Hill. There's a lot of really good high-end players on this team. Man, Todd Gurley's having a special, special kind of season this year. I mean, Todd Gurley might realistically have 25 touchdowns this year. He's having that kind of year. He's the thing that makes everything go for that offense.
You're probably going to think I'm a little crazy here, but I put my five non-quarterbacks down in order, and I got Donald, Tyreek, Kelce, Gurley, and Ford in this game. Donald for obvious reasons. Travis Kelce for obvious reasons, the best tight end in the game. I'm not sure. I mean, does Todd Gurley have game-breaking? Like, can he bust one on you?
Absolutely.
Because I think Tyreek has a better chance of busting one than Todd Gurley does.
I agree with that because he's faster than him.
Yeah, and so I mean, if you're not even a Chiefs or a Rams fan, you just tune into this game. I mean, how many, like, we were joking about this last night. Like, were you going to go home and watch the Packers and the Seahawks? And somebody like, yeah, who cares? 4-5-1 and a 4-4 team, whatever it was. And then the Niners and the Giants last Monday night, you watching this game, a couple of crummy teams, no. You don't have to be a Rams or a Chiefs fan to get into this game because of those are the five names I just mentioned, and neither one of them are quarterbacks. Like, this game is off, has the potential to be amazing. And those five dudes, not quarterbacks, are total studs. And I'm not even getting into Sammy Watkins and Kareem Hunt and Brandon Cooks and Ndamukong Suh and Dante Fowler. The amount of talent that's going to be on this field Monday night in L.A. is ridiculous.
I mean, also, I think you got to factor in this one. Ty Gurley's just going to touch the ball a lot more than Tyreek Hill is. Like, I mean, what's the most amount of times Tyreek touches the ball? I mean, 11 probably for counting special teams. Like, Tyreek's not getting 15 touches in this game. If he does, having an amazing game if it's the case. Ty Gurley's going to touch the ball 25 times at least in this one that I think just really opens him up to having a really big day. This was something that you noticed earlier in the week, and I kind of sat down at the computer and I was kind of doing some research and I was reading between these two teams. I want to read you some numbers and I want to ask you guys if this sounds very similar to any other team. Against the Raiders, held them to 13 points. Against the Arizona Cardinals, held them to 0 points. Against the Denver Broncos, held them to 20 points. Against the San Francisco 49ers with no Jimmy Garoppolo, held them to 10. But then you fast forward and when you play some of the better quarterbacks in the NFL, like Drew Brees, 45, Kirk Cousins, 31. Seattle, two times, 31. Aaron Rodgers, 27. So when you play the good quarterbacks in the NFL, you give up points in a lot of them. When you play the bad offenses in the NFL, you get shut down. Who does that sound like?
Sounds like the Chiefs.
That's the Rams.
Yeah.
The Chiefs and the Rams defense, at least the narrative surrounding both of those teams, are literally the exact same. If you add up the good quarterbacks that the Rams have played so far this season, I'm talking about Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson two times, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Phillip Rivers, 16 touchdown passes, zero interceptions. For as good as Marcus Peters is, your one interception came against Derek Carr in week one in a game that was pretty much already decided. The Rams defense have the exact same things to prove to you that the Chiefs defense. The Rams defense has proven that you can shut down Josh Rosen. The Rams defense has proven that you can shut down Case Keenum or Derek Carr. The Rams defense is giving you no reason to believe that they're going to slow down the Chiefs offense because they haven't done it against a good team offensively all season.
Yeah, and you know, I think the one difference between those two defenses, and I'll say it again, it's third down. I mean, the Chiefs are a lot better on third down than the Rams. The Rams are 22nd, the Chiefs are 6th. And that's what is encouraging to me. Specs always saying, the Chiefs haven't proved to me they can make a stop and get off the field when they need to. Well, they did it against the Cardinals last week. You may not like the fact that it was the Cardinals, but Justin Houston got an interception, and that led to putting the game away. I think that's the difference in the game. If there is one, other than the fact that I think the Chiefs have way too many offensive weapons, I think when it comes to defense, the Chiefs are much better at getting off the field than the Rams.
Coming up in about 25 minutes, we'll play Pick a Player, a fresh, hot Chiefs edition to get you ready for Monday Night Football, brought to you by Ag Power. We'll play Pick a Player coming up in about 20 minutes. But first, our guy Billy Bob Moss stops by in studio to get you ready for Monday Night Football. Bill Moss in studio coming up. It's The Drive. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we will get to Pick a Player, hot, fresh, new Pick a Player as we get you ready for Monday Night Football. But always a guest when we're joined by Chiefs greats in studio. And right now we've got another one, Bill Moss, our guy. He's in the Missouri Sports Hall of Fame, former Chiefs defensive lineman. And
we love having Billy Bob in. He's brought to you by LC's Barbecue.
Bill, we've been having this conversation. We had a poll up on the on Twitter of who is the bigger mismatch for the Chiefs. Is it Todd Gurley going up against the Chiefs' run defense, or is it Aaron Donald up against the middle of the Chiefs' offensive line? Bill, how big of a problem would you say is Aaron Donald rushing from the middle?
Yeah, and there's been guys throughout the years that have done that. Think about John Randall. Think about Keith Millard, who led the league in sacks one year. You know, they played that same position. And when you can get that immediate pressure in the push, in that pocket, right into the quarterback's lap, that's the worst-case scenario for a quarterback. A quarterback can see with his vision on the outside who's coming up and who's coming around. But when it's right in your face, you don't see anything else. It takes everything away. You don't see the receivers. You don't see the plays. You don't see your peripheral vision with the pass rush outside. All you see is that closing in on your face. So that kind of pressure is the best kind of pressure defensively.
So, Bill, what do you do then? Like, if you're an offensive line, I mean, you got a guy in Austin Ryder who making his third start. You got Andrew Wiley, a young guy, and you got Cam Irving. Those are your two guards in your center. Like, what can you do to keep Sue and Donald away from Showtime Mahomes there?
Okay, so I've watched Andy over the years, and when he's played these types of teams, really good defensive fronts. Heck, they played Tampa Bay Buccaneers twice in the NFC Championship game.
Mm-hmm.
What he does is he wears them down. And what I mean by that, he's going to get them going laterally as much as he can, sideline to sideline, chasing the plays. Then he's going to hammer a run right down their throat. You know, he's just going to keep on wearing them down. And in the fourth quarter, that's when they're all tired, and that's normally when that offense, you know, does its best. And I've seen this game plan from him a number of times. And it works. You take those guys and you wear them out. You're not going to be able to sit there and hold the pocket and play conventional offense against guys that are that dominant, especially with our banged-up offensive line. So they've got to get them running. Get them going left, get them going right, and then hit them down the middle.
If you had to look at where the biggest advantage may come from the Rams' side, is it Aaron Donald against that interior offensive line that you speak of, or mm-hmm. is it Todd Gurley against the Chiefs' run defense?
You know, that's a great point, defense and offense. Who's it going to be? We have yet to show that we can consistently stop the run defensively. You know, the teams that we've struggled with have come in and had that formula, right? The Denver Broncos, we had it mm-hmm. last week too. They're going to try to run the ball down your throat, and we haven't been able to stop it and get off the field. They chew up the clock. This was how we played our style of football in the 90s with Marty Schottenheimer. We're just going to keep hammering the ball. We're going to chew up the clock, control the time of possession, keep your offense on the sidelines, and score at the end of those drives. Field goal, 7 if we're lucky. But, you know, we're going to keep that high-powered offense, whoever it was, on the sidelines. And teams have gotten close. to doing that, but they haven't been able to get all the way because our offense, Chiefs offense, is so explosive.
Bill, I've been on the side of, I think this defense is getting better.
Yeah.
And Carrington's a little bit on the side of, well, who have they played over the last month? You know, we saw when they played against the Patriots chewed them up, hung 43 on them. But the Cardinals and the Broncos and the Bengals, I mean, those aren't the Patriots. What do you see? Because I do think that this defense has gotten better, and they've kept some not-so-good offensive teams not so good.
Yeah. Well, I think this. Defensively, over the course of time, when you're playing together, you can get better because you're playing together. You're all playing together. You can get better at what you do because if it's coverage, if it's footwork, if it's steps in your drop, if it's your reads, if it's your offensive line, if it's your pass rush, those things can get – defensive line, I'm sorry. Those things can get better over time when you play together. When you have an offense, you are what you are, you know, because the specialty guys make you what you are. Your line, you can only do so many things, but at the end of the day, you're going to be, you are what you are. We've seen you are what you are over the past few years with Alex Smith and company, right? Yeah. You can only do so much. So, you know, in that essence, you're limited. Defense, though, you can get better by repetitions, and I see these guys getting better.
Bill, I heard a stat today. On drives, if you got a sack, 84% of those drives that you got a sack ended up in no points. Mm-hmm. But I look at sacks as kind of being the new turnovers. That if you can get a sack on second and five and make that next play third and 12, you effectively did your job as a defense. I look at that as, I mean, I think that Chris Jones is maybe one of the most important players in this game. D Ford, Justin Houston. Again, I don't know if the Chiefs are holding the Rams to under 35 points. I think both of these offenses are going to hold 35 points. But if you can get constant pressure like they have the last couple of weeks, you can go into Los Angeles and steal a victory.
Yeah, the Rams are pretty good up front, though, too. They've got some offensive linemen that are pretty good. But you are right. It changes the course of the game. And for a game like this where it's so heavy offensively for both offenses, whoever creates the disruption in the backfield and disrupts the timing is going to win this game. And you know, I noticed a substantial difference when Houston was out there last week as opposed to when he wasn't out there. Chris Jones played better. Alan Bailey played better. D Ford just took off like a shot out of a cannon and had a big day. So and they correlate with the secondary. What happens in the secondary is a direct replication of what is going on up front. How much pressure you're getting to the quarterback. You know, those guys are a lot better when you're hanging all over the quarterback's shoulders and he's scared.
I look at D Ford now as I feel like for so long you went into games not knowing really what to expect from him from a production standpoint. I think we're at the point that you have to go into games expecting D Ford to play well and expecting him to be a positive. He's earned that so far this season.
Yeah, and I think it's to the point now where you have to really consider sliding your line to him or putting a guy over top of him or helping out more often than Justin Houston. And I'm going to see how that plays out, because if they start doing that and start taking that D Ford away as the dominant rusher, I think things are going to open up more for Chris Jones and for Justin Houston.
We're talking to Bill Moss. He's brought to you by LC's Barbecue. Bill, you know, that's the other thing, too. The one thing that really impressed me about D Ford, and I've been skeptical about what I've been seeing with him this year based on what we saw the first 4 years. Mm-hmm. But, man, even when Justin Houston was out, D Ford was still really, really good.
Yeah.
And what have you seen from him? Because Neil Smith said he looked a little bit like Derek Thomas on a couple of plays last week.
Yeah, and so I can only give him the benefit of the doubt, because what I saw for the first 4 years, I wasn't impressed with much of anything.
Yeah.
The playing the run, rushing the passer, all of it. It just wasn't there. So, you know, they said he was nicked and he said he was hurt, but he'd go out there and try to fight his way through it. And I can only give credit to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think a guy can just all of a sudden turn it on for a dollar figure. I really don't. We've seen people play better, but also you play better the longer you play. Maybe he's just now getting it. Maybe he's healthy and understands how to play in the NFL now. Some guys take a little longer than others, and I've seen it. I've been with guys. I've played with them. Come in, high draft choices, couldn't figure out how to fit in, and maybe it just takes him a little longer to grasp the concept. Maybe it just takes him a little longer to get confidence. But right now, he's playing like a guy that knows how to play this game at a top high level.
Going up against your former team, what's that like? Because
I just don't know what to expect from Marcus when it comes to an emotional mindset of it. Like, I don't want to now treat Marcus Peters like he's this scrub that isn't capable, that if the Chiefs keep throwing at his direction, he can't catch one or two of those and change the course of this game. I think you know better than anybody the athlete mindset, and when you keep getting told you're not good and you're as talented as he is, you kind of fight back the same way we saw last year against the Chargers whenever he played well and got those two interceptions. I just don't know what to expect from Marcus Peters heading into this game.
So I went to Green Bay in my final year I played, and we came back to Kansas City on a Monday night game. And it was really emotional because I was going back to the house that I was a part of, a family I was a part of for so long. Now, for Marcus Peters, he's just out in L.A. He's not coming to Kansas City, so a little bit of that will be off. But playing against your former team, you always, if you have an ounce of salt of anything in your fiber that makes up a competitive person, you're going to want to try to have the best game of your life. You're going to want to try to show them, look, you guys made a mistake, or I'm going to prove it to you, or whatever the fact of the matter is. So it'll be interesting to see how he handles it, and it'll be interesting to see what Andy Reid draws up for him.
What is your biggest key to a Chiefs win?
That's a tough one because there's so many factors in this game. I would think handling Gurley. I think if the Chiefs defense can handle him via the, because they're going to come up with different formations and different personnel groupings, and Chiefs are going to have to try to match up against them defensively. So, you know, kind of like the run-pass option, they're going to have things in there. Like, they're all going to depend on the personnel grouping, whether they're going to hand it off to him and hammer you, or if they're going to get him out in space on a big linebacker. So how they match up and handle Gurley, I think, will be a big factor in the outcome of the game.
Do you think the way that the Rams handle Hunt is going to be equally as big? Because, I mean, I hear week in and week out teams say, man, we got to stop Kareem Hunt. That's the key. That's what makes him go. And I'm like, man, they got Tyreek to get killed.
Yeah.
Do you buy that?
No, I think it's pick your poison with the Chiefs.
Yeah.
You only have 11 guys out there. And you can't double cover everybody. And you can't hone in on everybody. So, you know, the way they get all the motion and shifts and personnel groupings that Andy comes up with, all those things are all diagrammed to get somebody in space and open. So you can't take everybody away, and that's why they're so effective. And I think with Sammy Hunt back in the picture, you're going to see a high-powered offense out of the Chiefs this week.
Who wins and why?
I'm going to take the Chiefs, and I think it goes back to what I talked about before. They came home, took care of their business, didn't care about going to Mexico, didn't care about – they didn't care. They just came home and went back to work.
Yeah.
And that's what this group does, and I think I've seen it more. Andy has talked about this since he's been here. Oh, that's the way we roll. That's the way we roll. But we've seen the players act differently. We've seen the antics from the players act differently on the field. We've seen a bunch of stuff that told us, no, that's not how we roll. There's something else here going on. This group – their mouth is shut, and they come back, and they go to work, and they want a positive outcome. And I think Patrick Mahomes has a lot to do with that.
Always an honor to sit down with the Missouri Sports Hall of Famer and former Chiefs defensive lineman Bill Moss. Joins us on the drive. Bill, always good catching up with you.
You too, brother.
We need four callers right now, 913-576-7610. We've got a gift card to the other place. You want to get some pizza. You want to get some wings. You want to get a little beer. Well, you got a chance to do it in Pick a Player. We need four callers. We got a piping hot edition of Chiefs Pick a Player. 913-576-7610. We'll do that coming up. It's The Drive.
One category.
I don't get a chance to go to many movies.
15 seconds.
Ty Dayton, you got two running backs.
Oh, my gosh.
How will you handle the pressure?
Tom, Teddy, Roger, Junior.
It's Pick a Player.
He has a slider from hell.
On The Drive.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. But we had to move, pick a player around because it was a lot of stuff happening. KU so conveniently picked to hire their coach in the middle of the show. If you missed the news, Les Miles is reported to be the next head football coach at KU. We'll talk about that coming up in just a bit. Sammy Watkins didn't practice today. We'll get to that coming up in the hits. And we'll also replay our conversation with D Ford if you missed it. But we've got some new piping hot pickup players ready for you. We've got Jennifer. This is our first lady caller to pick a player in a long time. I hope Jennifer dominates the game. We've also got Chris. We've got Jordan. And we've got Deacon in Waldo. We'll go first to Jennifer. Jennifer, how are you doing today? Do you understand the rules of pick a player?
I think so. I hope I do. You guys good and proud.
You will.
All right, that's the case. All right, you got the opportunity to go up against either Eric Murray or Mitchell Schwartz. Who would you like to go up against?
I'm going Eric Murray.
All right, Eric Murray. Pick one or two.
Two.
All right, two. All right, you have cities in California. How many different cities in California can you name in 15 seconds, Jennifer? On your mark, get set, go.
San Francisco, San Diego, Monterey, Los Angeles, Malibu.
All right.
I got Jennifer for a five spot. All respectable.
Right. I'm going to put you on hold there. You only got the four spot there.
I got her for five.
You got her down for five?
She got Malibu in at the end.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
You got her down for the five ball. I'm not going to knock that. That's a decent round on a tough category. You never know. The pick a player draw is unkind sometimes.
It is.
Eric Murray is going to California this weekend. Let's see if he knows his geography.
Calabasas? I don't know. Why you tell me to say that? I don't know. San Jose.
LA.
LA.
San Francisco.
Fresno.
We give him a three spot on that or not? We're going to give him Fresno? Where's Calabasas? Do we know where that
Calabasas is? Calabasas is a suburb of L.A. That's like where all the really, really rich famous people live. Like Kim Kardashian, Drake, Kanye.
Oh, no wonder I didn't know where it was. So I got him for a three spot then.
Spec, are you giving him the last one where he said Fresno at the end?
Yes.
Are you giving him Fresno?
Yeah, that counts.
So I got four then.
I just want to point out, a teammate said San Francisco. The Chiefs played San Francisco this year. Eric Murray still did not name San Francisco.
It wasn't one of his strong points. Man.
Shockingly, Eric Murray got beat. I mean, yeah. I know you guys can't believe that, but like we see every Sunday, Eric Murray got beat. All right, so Jennifer, she has a plus two in the game against Eric Murray. Chris, do you understand the rules of pick a player?
Yeah.
All right, you have Eric Murray one, Mitchell Schwartz one, or Mitchell Schwartz two. Take your pick.
Mitchell Schwartz, two.
All right. It's actually one. My apologies. I said the wrong thing here. All right. You have cold weather clothes. What are some things you will wear when it gets cold outside, Chris? On your mark, get set, go.
Boots, insulated socks, pullover, coverall, jacket, hoodies, earmuffs, gloves, hot hands in the pocket.
All right, let me put you on hold
give him
here.
That. I'll give him that. I got him for a 10 spot.
Oh, I got him down for a 9 ball, but you're the official counter.
You got the thing you put in your pockets, man.
All right,
the hot
if you're giving him a 10 ball, then he got a 10 ball. All right, let's see if Eric Murray knows how to stay warm in the winter.
Mittens, coat, hat, earmuffs, thick socks, fur coat, trench coat, boots.
Dropped a little fur coat in there. He was getting some help from the rest of the DBs while I was doing that yesterday. See that?
Shockingly, they weren't good enough.
I can't believe Eric Murray needed help in something.
I know. I mean, shockingly, Eric Murray needed help from the secondary, and they weren't much help. I mean, that never happens throughout the course of the week. I can't believe this to be the case. All
next
right,
time I go back there asking a question, I'm going to get killed now. You guys realize this because of what you're doing.
What did Eric Murray get in that one?
He got eight.
All right.
He probably couldn't find you.
Oh, all right. So, Chris, you are the leader. Jennifer, thanks for calling, but you cannot win a pick a player today. All right. Well, head on down the line. Jordan in Blue Springs, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. You got Mitchell Schwartz, one or two. Take your pick.
I'm going to do two.
All right. He has animals that you would see at the zoo. How many different zoo animals can you name in 15 seconds, Jordan? On your mark, get set, go.
Lion, tiger, bear, penguin, monkey, snake, zebra, elephant, giraffe.
I can put
got him for a nine spot. I'm giving him giraffe.
I'm giving him a giraffe, too.
Yeah, birds is always good. You could have named a bunch of different birds.
One of my favorite questions to ask on a date is, if you could go to any fictional place, would you rather go to Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, like Willy Wonka's place, or Jurassic Park? Which one would you pick?
Yeah, I would go Jurassic Park.
I can't imagine like going there just eating all the candy in the world. Like that's I would pick Willy Wonka.
I want to see some dinosaurs.
I have a special place in my heart.
Want some adventure
for Willy Wonka? Speck, which one would you go to?
I'm not going anywhere near a dinosaur. Candy or getting eaten like candy.
But
give me Willy Wonka.
But that one scene in Jurassic Park where they show the dinosaur for the first time is like one of the most incredible scenes in movie.
Yeah, going to Jurassic Park.
Amazing. What do we got?
I got him for a nine ball.
All right. We got him down for a nine ball. Let's see if Mitchell Schwartz knows his zoo animals. Hit it, Spec.
Giraffe, lion, zebra, polar bear, bears, leopards. I don't know. I'm just going off stuff. What do you see at the zoo?
He said, I don't know stuff.
I got him for a six, man. It's our new leader in the clubhouse. Jordan's up plus three.
Jordan in the Blue Springs. You are the leader. Chris in Pleasantville. Hale Hill, you can hang up. Yeah, you cannot win today.
Beat it, Chris.
Deacon, how you doing today?
Hello?
Hey, Deacon. How you doing, Deacon?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. All right. You have things you would find in a bathroom. You have 15 seconds, Deacon. On your mark, get set, go.
Toilet, shower, toilet paper, toothbrush, toothpaste, floss, mouthwash, cleaning supplies, shower curtain, tile, door, knob, cabinet knob.
I got you. Got to give him that.
I mean, that's things you would find in the bathroom.
You've got doors, knobs, and cabinet knobs.
I love the creativity from my guy Deacon. I got him down for a 13.
I got him 13 as well.
All right, let's see if Mitchell Shorts. Let's see if he knows his way around the bathroom.
Toilet, sink, shower, toothbrush, toothpaste, deodorant, medicine, I don't know, ointment, first aid stuff, band-aids, window, hopefully.
What was did you say first date stuff?
First aid.
Oh, first aid. First date.
What was the last thing he said there? Because that could be the tiebreaker. Do we know what it is?
I don't know. I couldn't hear the music. The music started playing and he was still talking. So
if he got that last thing, then that gives it to Jordan.
Spec.
He did not. He did not get it in time. Okay. The music faded up before he was on the air.
All right. Then we got a tie.
Oh, we got a tie.
Between
then.
Deacon and Jordan then.
All right then. Spec, figure it out. I'm sure we got
Deacon,
some.
Deacon got more than Jordan.
Man, we can give him. It's a Friday. Chiefs are 9-1. We certainly have an extra other place gift card to give Jordan and Deacon. Thanks a lot for
playing. Happy Thanksgiving, man. Yeah, everybody wins here.
Coming up in 2 minutes, please don't turn the dial. In the 5 o'clock hour, this is what you will hear. The biggest stories of the day in Kansas City. And if you missed our conversation with D Ford, we will play it for you in the 5 o'clock hour. Keep it locked in right here on 610 Sports Radio.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Hey, Tom, was that a touchdown? Did he get in?
No, it was a little short of the goal line.
So, speaking of coming up short, I've been having some trouble getting a touchdown in the bedroom, if you know what I mean. I think I've got erectile dysfunction.
Don't sweat it, man. Did you know that more than half the men by the age of 50 suffer from ED? In fact, I suffered for years, and I'm not even 50.
Oh, really? But you seem to be fine with it.
Man, I wasn't at all, till I called the Kansas City Men's Clinic and set up my confidential appointment. You know, they've successfully treated 20,000 ED patients. I've been going to the Kansas City Men's Clinic for years. That was a nice tackle. You know, Dave, maybe it's time for you to tackle that ED.
Man, you're right. I'm going to call the Kansas City Men's Clinic and tackle my ED.
Smart move, buddy.
Get back in the game today. Call the Kansas City Men's Clinic at 816-897-7777. That's 897-7777 or the kcmensclinic.com. Your visit is only $99 and you can see results same day. Don't forget to ask about the revolutionary Pulse ED therapy. Call 897-7777.